Hi, it's Dave. Tesla stock has skyrocketed over the past year, and in this video, I'm going to share how I'm processing Tesla's dramatic rise. All right, as all of my videos are, they are just kind of a stream of consciousness of my real-time kind of feelings and thoughts of what's going on. So I personally wasn't expecting Tesla stock price to go so high this year. I mean, it's already reached $550, which basically equals $2,750 pre-split price, right? Tesla has done more than a 10x, right, over the past year and a half. I personally thought I actually had decently bullish expectations for 2020. At the end of last year, on December, one of my first videos on my channel was about Tesla's pending S&P 500 inclusion. I was expecting it for 2020. Also, I was expecting Tesla to start turning profits and consistent profits. In fact, in 2018, I wrote an article or blog post in my mega thread on Tesla Motors Club. And I wrote this long detailed article about how I saw Tesla changing into a cash cow and how that would propagate or start the short burn of the century. And I kind of laid out a whole case. This is back about two years ago, how people weren't expecting the operating leverage that Tesla actually has, how they're super lean in their operating expenses. And as long as they're able to bring on, right, more revenue, let's say with Model 3 and the Model Y, people are going to be super surprised with the amount of profitability that Tesla shows, not just now, but let's say going into the future, and that's going to drive, right, Tesla's price to radically new highs. However, I wasn't expecting Tesla to actually go beyond, let's say, $1,500 or pre-split this year. And I think a lot of things happened that led Tesla to a dramatically higher price this year. First off, 2020 is just 2020. It's been a crazy year. We've had COVID, and in the midst of COVID, we had a recession, but then we had the market rebounding very fast. And then you have all of these growth stocks on fire, right? Because they're showing their resilience, right, in COVID. Further, you had the Fed jump in with kind of unlimited quantitative easing, setting a floor for the stock market. And then you have interest rates, just at, not just historic lows, but then you have the Fed saying that they're going to keep or intending to keep interest rates very low. Because of all of these different conditions and macro conditions, which are extremely difficult, right, to predict, Tesla not only, right, rode the wave of becoming profitable and joining the S&P 500 and all of that, but they're also riding some bigger macro, right, waves of tech stocks on low interest rates and then the market rebounding. And so Tesla basically is jumping from under $40, right, in 2019, that's a post-split adjusted price, to $550 in 2020. So yeah, that's like, you know, over a 10x, you know, close to 15x, right, within a year and a half or so. I personally was prepared for something more like a pre-split adjusted price, let's say $1,000 to $1,500, let's say in 2022. That was kind of my expectations if you were to ask me about a year ago. In fact, back in February of this year, 2020, Third Row Podcast tweeted out a tweet that said Tesla could reach $2,700 within 2 years, right? This is pre-split price, if full self-driving went as planned. And I responded and I said, hey, I didn't think that was likely. And I ended up actually being wrong with that because we actually have finally reached a pre-split price of $2,700, which for me, it was almost unfathomable just several months ago back in February. And I ended up being wrong, I'm kind of wrong, but in a happy way, right? Because my Tesla shares have gone up much faster than anticipated. And I'm also wrong in a happy way because I've had a investment philosophy to hold on to these big winners or hold on to these 10x generational companies as long as they're executing and progressing on their product roadmap and on their kind of expected growth, right, going forward. Personally, I think it's difficult to predict stock prices going forward, especially on a short-term level, because there are just so many variables. Sometimes you might have a big lull that can last years, right, with a stock, and a company that might be doing pretty well, or you can have a downtrend in the stock price just because of macro or certain other conditions. Sometimes the stock price also could rise very slowly, and you're like, hey, what's going on? The company's doing much better than that. But other times the stock price can rise super fast when the company hasn't even changed much. And sometimes in the case of Tesla's past year, it can go actually parabolic. But the question is, even when a company goes parabolic in their stock price, does it go down after that? And there's a lot more questions. Does it go down a lot after that, or does it go down a little bit? Or after a parabolic move, can the stock price stabilize? Or can it even go higher, right, from a parabolic move and then stabilize after that or go down. There's just so many scenarios to map out. And then when you're adding in the additional element of timing, that makes the scenarios basically unlimited. There's an infinite number of possibilities for stock prices. I think in order to bet on timing, it requires a lot of precision, and there can be high reward to that, but there can also be high risk as well. And that's what leads me to kind of this concept of the beauty of common stock. Common stock, you can hold through the ups and downs, and you can kind of focus on the company's execution, their products and product roadmap, and you can bet long-term on what I'm calling a generational company, right? A company that doesn't come along very often, but whose products and services infiltrate culture so much that basically everyone knows about it and everyone uses their products in daily life. Back in January in 2020, I shared a video called My Tesla Exit Plan. It was episode number 16. And if you haven't watched it, I'm going to link it to the video description. It's a great video, and it shared my strategy of how I view my Tesla holdings and when I plan to sell. And I try to make kind of a counter, kind of traditional counter strategy where most people are like, hey, if the stock price goes high, then you sell, right? And a lot of people I know who follow more traditional plans or traditional investment philosophies, they've exited, you know, most if not all of their Tesla holdings, right, as Tesla has risen. However, my plans, and this has been my plan for many, many years, is to sell basically a few percent of my Tesla as long as Tesla is executing toward their potential and their product roadmap, meaning a few percent every year. And what I mean by that is, my situation is different than your situation, other people's situation. Every person's situation is different. But for me personally, I took on some big bets early on in Tesla's kind of stock price or stock history. And I was able to early on in 2012 and 2013, and also leading up to 2014-15, basically put all of my liquid assets into the company and actually, you know, make some bets as well, you know, and exercise some options I had. And so I was kind of overexposed to Tesla in some ways for many years. And so it's always been my plan to kind of reduce that exposure every year, a few percent, as long as Tesla has been growing. And I listed several criteria for how I would know that they're executing toward their potential, right? And what is a generation company? So the first criteria is, are they addressing or disrupting a large and growing market? And if you look at Tesla, like they still, right, are just in the beginning innings of disrupting a hugely large, right, autonomous driving, right, transportation logistics network. They're disrupting immensely large energy, right, storage and actually generation market. And there's so many other markets that Tesla can get into. Number two was, does the company have a product that's far superior than other companies and an ability to sustain that advantage over time? And in Tesla's case, they're proving actually their product is far superior and they're actually increasing, right, their competitive edge with battery technology, with autonomous driving, et cetera. Number three, the third criteria was, does this company have world-class execution? I think we can see with like events like Autonomy Day and Battery Day that Tesla is executing really on a world-class level. They can go head-to-head with practically any company in the world. Number four, does this company have a clear and probable path to a 10x valuation within 5 to 10 years? And this whole thing is what I started back in 2012. Did I see Tesla being able to do a 10x, right, within 5 to 10 years? And Elon Musk made that clear, right? When Tesla was valued at like $3 billion, he had a CEO compensation plan that if Tesla reached $40 billion, like a 10x, right, he would be compensated with options. In the same way, in 2018, Tesla also had a CEO compensation plan. And it was basically if Tesla reached a $650 billion, right, valuation by 2028, another 10x, then Elon Musk would be heavily compensated with stock options. And the question though is like, hey, Tesla has done like a $3 billion to $40 billion, right? A 10X. And now let's say a $50 billion to $500 billion. So Tesla has done in a way like 100X in like less than like 10 years, right? That's like an amazing accomplishment for Tesla. And so the question is, hey, can Tesla do another 10X from here, right? Can Tesla take $500 billion to $5 trillion? Now, I look at this in a few different ways. First, I don't really look at today's stock price as really the true stock price because there's a lot of volatility and a lot of it is determined on market sentiment, on the macro sentiment. There can be a lot of ups and downs. So personally, I'm still kind of basing my 10X off of the 2018, right, CEO compensation plan where, you know, Elon's saying, hey, we're going to be at least $650 billion. I think it's going to be a lot more. But I'm using this time, right? And it's only been a couple of years since that compensation plan to forecast what I think, you know, Tesla can be worth, let's say, in another 10 years, or what's their next 10-year growth, you know, cycle. And so that's going to, and I don't feel like I need to completely make a conclusive argument, but I do think there's a lot of arguments, a lot of evidence that can show that if Tesla can execute with autonomous driving and energy storage, right? Yes, they can do a possible 10x, let's say within 10 years or so. Now, in this video that I shared back in January, I shared this concept of a generational company. And with a generational company, a lot of times there's a lot of volatility, especially with a high growth one, because in the early days, there's so much value that's based on the future growth prospects of that company. And a lot of times it's difficult to value a company because you don't know what the future of that company is going to look like 5 to 10 years from now. And I think that's the case with Tesla in a lot of ways. It's been so volatile that, and the major reason is because the future has been, I guess, is unclear, right? For some Tesla believers, it's more clear than for others, but the general sentiment toward the company is unclear. A few principles that have helped me keep the vast majority of my Tesla shares over the years are as follows. Number one, volatility is to be expected. See, I kind of have this sense, or I don't know where it comes from, but I understand the essence of volatility. And when you look at what determines the value of the stock, right? It's a combination of different things. It's a combination of investors saying, okay, what's the future cash flows of this company, right? How am I going to pay for that now? What kind of multiple am I going to pay for earnings, et cetera? But you also understand that the future is so hard to know, and so many things change the outlook, right, of the future. There could be some sentiment changes. There could be some execution challenges. Let's say a company messes up, right? One example is that Amazon, Jeff Bezos released the Amazon Fire phone several years ago, and it was a big flop, and people were like, Amazon's over, right? Game over. And there was this execution challenge, and that changed the sentiment toward the future of Amazon, which was, you know, a wrong change of sentiment because they executed fantastically after that. But so many things actually factor into the view of the future of the company. Like, for example, demand, whether there's high demand this quarter for the product or not, can change a person's view and sentiment of how they view the future growth of that company. So when I understand all these factors that go into why a company stock price is volatile, it gives me a sense of calm in the midst of volatility, because I go, oh, I understand why it's volatile, right? And I can handle that because that's part of being invested in a growth generational company. Number two, my focus has always been the number of shares or the percent of the company that I own over the stock price. Meaning, I'm not so concerned about today's market price or what people think the price of a stock is. My main concern is, hey, what percent ownership in the company do I have? And actually, that doesn't change, right? The percent, and it changes a little bit with dilution, right? As the company releases more shares, maybe I have less ownership of that company. But overall, that percent of ownership in the company stays very similar. And that helps ground me, because the stock price is like, it's like manic, right? If I focus on the stock price, I'm going to be up one day and down one day, and it's going to be a roller coaster. But I focused on, let's say, not just the number of my shares, but the percent ownership I have in that company, that doesn't really change over time. It helps me to focus on the execution, what the company is doing. I think that's a much grounded approach. Number three principle that's helped me keep my vast majority of my Tesla shares over time is compounding favors long holding periods. And what I mean by this is, compounding usually is about two things. Number one is about the percent growth, right, per year of your total holdings. But number two is the length, the number of years, right, you hold those holdings, right, in that kind of growth vehicle. So in a way, stock price in itself, I think today's stock price doesn't really represent the compounding impact year over year because of the volatility of the stock price. Meaning, I'd rather look at, let's say, a company stock price over a 10-year period to understand a bit more about compounding. Look at some of the best and the largest companies in the world. Look at Apple, Amazon, and Facebook, and Google. And you'll see that the stock price is more of a result of the company's compounding growth, right? Execution. Their earnings are compounding. Their growth is compounding. And their stock price is more of a result. And it's volatile, but it shows as a kind of a lagging indicator in some ways. Sometimes it precedes it, but overall, I like to look at a longer holding period. Number four principle that has helped me is that reinvested cash flows of generational companies can surprise people. And what I mean by this is that these generational companies, these amazing kind of world-class execution companies, as they become profitable, they reinvest, right, their cash flows, meaning they have margin, right? And they're covering their expenses, but they're also reinvesting into new expenses that don't really show up on the income statement, actually. Because, for example, with the Tesla, how much of their R&D really is just to support current products versus investing in new products? And it's not just their R&D line, but there's actually so many other expenses and things that Tesla is using for, let's say, CapEx, et cetera. And because of that, when a company executes, let's say, on a whole nother level, they're able to create new product areas, enter new product categories, and enter new product markets, right? For example, no one or very few people expected Google to morph, not say morph, but, you know, adopt this YouTube platform, which has grown immensely, or the iPod to become eventually an iPhone, or for Amazon to start AWS and for it to become the success it has. And so I try not to underestimate world-class execution from generational companies and its importance. All right, number five principle that's helped me to hold over the years is I'm okay waiting for Tesla's stock price to recover if it crashes. Now, I don't take today's stock price of Tesla as necessarily the true, right, enduring value of Tesla, TSLA, because that's just what the market values Tesla today. And I think that's very fickle and it changes very often. To me, Tesla's long-term value is really determined by its execution, its products and services that give value, right, to the end customer and are better than other products. And it's the ability for Tesla to continue execute on their products and continue to grow and sustain their product superiority. And with that, demand grows in those market areas. And personally, I agree with Elon. He says, you know, Tesla has an amazing product roadmap ahead. And yeah, if you're an investor, I think that's an interesting criteria to invest in a company that has an amazing product roadmap ahead. So because of that, I'm okay with waiting it out because I think a company like Tesla, and this is just my personal opinion, right? I could be very wrong, but I think Tesla is in a different league in terms of how they're executing the markets they're addressing and the products, right, they have. And while there'll be lots of volatility, I'm betting more on the long term. All right, I hope that's helpful. If it has been helpful, please like the video. That really helps out, you know, the video on the channel. Subscribe, that helps out again. The more subscribers, it helps the channel actually, it helps me to reach out to people to interview and actually increases kind of the reach that the channel has. So please subscribe if you haven't. And all my YouTube videos are also podcasts. Just check out Dave Lee on Investing in your favorite podcast player. And lastly, I'm active on Twitter. And my handle on Twitter is @HeyDave7. You can follow me there. And I share some other insights over there as well. So anyways, today is Thanksgiving. And I want to wish you guys the best, especially those who are celebrating Thanksgiving. And thank you for supporting my channel, for watching, and for all of the encouraging comments you guys leave. I appreciate just, you know, all of the interactions and, you know, just the types of relationship and things that we can have via this channel. All right, take care, and we'll see you in my next video. Thanks.